Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You are watching slash listening slash definitely enjoying the Command Zone podcast. I'm one of your hosts today, Jimmy Wong, and I'm joined by
Ashlyn Rose. What's up, everyone?
Hello, Ashlyn. How have you been recently? We haven't done a podcast together in a while, like a full thing. This is cool.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I am great, actually. Life is good, and I am excited to be here. I have blue hair now.
Yeah, so. And we're talking about a deck with blue in it. Yeah. That's right. It's pre-con upgrade time, our favorite time of the year. Now happens 5, 8, 20 billion times a year.
A lot.
But we're on the streets of New Capenna, and we're talking about Obscura Operation. Obscura, that is the deck with the colors of white, blue, and black. And it's very excited. We're going to take 10 cards out, put 10 cards in, under $30, keeping it budget so that you can, most importantly, buy this deck, go out, sleeve it up, put these cards in, and have a great time at, you know, a lot of commander nights.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, some decks can be more powerful out there, but this is helping you get towards that level and actually stand a chance and have some fun. But first, before we get into it, got to talk about our sponsors.
And who are they?
ChannelFireball.com/command. Channel Fireball has an amazing marketplace that's filled with local game stores, LGSs across the country. They are WPN certified and all that stuff. It may be even a game store that you go to, but now you can buy from them online because, of course, that's a great way for a lot of businesses to stay afloat during these crazy times. So support a local game store. Go and use the Channel Fireball Marketplace because you're going to buy Magic cards anyway. Why not support a game store and get a great price? Know you're going to get great service because you're working with a real legitimate business at the other end of it. Not to mention, they also got sealed product, and we got New Capenna. We have Unlimited. Is it called? No, it's not called Unlimited. It's called Unfinity.
Oh, yeah, the new one, Unfinity.
Infinity and Beyond.
Yeah.
And those have some beautiful lands in it. I'm really excited.
Oh,
so make sure you check out channelfireball.com/command for your pre-orders and all of your Magic needs. Of course, also, if you're going to pick up this deck, perfect place to do it.
Yes.
Big thanks also to Ultra Pro, who make our playmats that we sell on Kickstarter. They also make probably every playmat you played on,
Pretty much all of them. Yeah.
They are the standard, and that's why we trust them to protect our Magic cards. We put our playmats in their playmat tubes. We use their deck boxes. We put our cards into their sleeves. I use their art sleeves all the time. I have Eclipse sleeves that I've been using for 5+ years now.
Wow.
The same ones. Now, I haven't drafted as much with them recently, but they're amazing. They're just workhorses for specific things like that, but they also make 100-card sleeves for your commander deck. So Ultra Pro, the place to go. You can also just buy it at your local game store and support them in two ways, and us at the same time. Amazing. And finally, direct way to support the show is patreon.com/commandzone. Our Patreon is amazing. We just revamped it. There are now chances for you to play with the Command Zone staff on Spell Table. Hello. You want to sign up and support the show and just show us that you want to support us directly. You've enjoyed our content over the years. You can do it for as little as $5 a month, and you're open to tons of cool things, including Game Nights auditions, which may or may not still be happening by this episode. But that's just one of the many perks. We have an amazing Discord and all that. And we shout out one lucky patron every episode. So this episode is dedicated to
Ben Randall.
We choose these randomly, but Ben Randall joined actually super recently, I believe, after the revamp. So, Ben, you rock.
Yeah, and we also have our, we just launched a merch store.
Yes.
Not too long ago.
Check it out. We have a hat, a t-shirt, and an amazing sticker pack. You are going to want to slap that salty or the spicy sticker on something, guaranteed. I can't wait to get mine in the mail, but make sure you check it out. Shop.commandzone.com.
Yeah, it's in the notes. It's in the description. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's get right into it. The Obscura Operation Precon Budget Upgrade Guide. 10 cards in, 10 cards out, $30 total. And of course, we do a nice little coverage of the whole deck. And the first thing we always do is talk about the brand new commander options.
Yeah.
Woo! So, Ashlyn, lead it off. Tell us who the front card of the deck is, the one and only.
All right, on the front, we have Kamiz, Obscura Oculus. Ooh, it's a one colorless, a white, blue, and a black. It's a legendary creature, Cephalid Rogue, 2/4. And it says, whenever you attack, target attacking creature can't be blocked this turn. It connives. Then choose another attacking creature with lesser power. That creature gains double strike until end of turn.
Whoa, okay. And conniving is a new mechanic from New Capenna. Haha. It says to have a creature connive, draw a card, then discard a card. If you discard a non-land card, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. So Kamiz says every time that you attack, doesn't need to be this commander, it could be another 1/1, it could be something else on your battlefield. When it attacks, you say that creature can't be blocked this turn. And then, should you have another creature attacking, you can choose that creature. As long as it has a lesser power, it's going to gain double strike. And that means pretty much you don't want to block that thing either.
No.
It's going to be pretty nasty, whatever it ends up being. So, I saw you noted here that of the commander options, this is the lowest mana value. So, it's sitting at 4.
It's sitting at 4. I think the other two, one of them's at like 8?
6.
6. There we go. Yeah.
The other one is at like 5. But two colors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this is really interesting. I do like the fact that you're giving double strike. To me, we talked about underrated mechanics recently. Josh said haste, and I said first strike, or just like combat type stuff. Because I really think double strike is one of those things where, you know, you only have so many turns to kill someone. If you can hit them twice, you know, extra combats are good. Double strike is kind of similar in a way.
Yeah, and we'll get into it later, but double strike is extra good in this deck because of all the damage triggers.
Ah, very cool. Yeah, so there's lots of creatures that care about dealing combat damage. Another reason. And of course, if you have like the swords or anything that triggers on hit, those also work well with double strike. So really cool. I like Kamiz a lot, or Kamiz.
Yeah.
Big K.
What else did I... Oh, and I also mentioned that the fact that connive happens and then you choose another creature and you have an opportunity to fix the creatures to make, like, maybe you have 2/1s and you need something with lesser power.
You tag with both of them. One of them connives.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a non-land that you discard, and then you get a +1/+1 counter on it, and then boom, you have a 2/2 and a 1/1, and then you can choose the other one to get double strike.
So it's just a nice little, a lot of nice things on it.
Yeah, it definitely synergizes really well with itself, and I think for me, the biggest thing is this commander itself does not need to attack.
Yes.
Something else can do it, and so you don't risk the life of it. It's also card advantage on a stick. Very cool. Okay.
All right, next up.
Next up, we got Tivit, Seller of Secrets. I wonder how much they cost. 3, a white, blue, and a black for a legendary creature, Sphinx Rogue. It is a 6/6, and it has flying and ward 3. So anytime you target it, an opponent targets it, they have to pay an extra 3 mana.
Yep.
And it says Council's Dilemma. We haven't seen this text in a while. Okay. Whenever Tivit enters the battlefield or deals combat damage to a player, starting with you, each player votes for evidence or bribery. So I play Tivit. I say evidence. Ashlyn says bribery, and the other two say evidence and bribery. For each evidence vote, investigate. For each bribery vote, create a treasure token. And the final line of text, while voting, you may vote an additional time. So actually, I cast Tivit and I say, I want bribery twice. And then everyone goes around, and then you tally it up. Most likely, you're going to get two treasures that you voted for, and everyone else gives you a clue. So two treasures, three clues on entering the battlefield or dealing combat damage for Tivit.
Which is pretty good. I mean...
That is 5 artifacts in a row. There's a card called Time Sieve, I think, where you sack 5 artifacts and take an extra turn.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so that's just a 5 artifact generator right here with Tivit.
Yeah, and with Double Strike.
Yeah, oh my gosh, and you're doing 10?
Get 4? Oh my god.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
I mean, it does have to be the lesser of the power creatures, but still, it's a 6/6. The dream scenario here.
Yeah, yeah, if you have a 7/7 out and somehow get Tivit Double Strike, but even then... Tivit is by itself very powerful. Yes. You're getting at least two treasures if you want to go treasures. And if your opponents decide to give you treasure for some reason, maybe they don't want you to have cards. You could have zero cards in hand.
Right.
I could see someone giving someone a treasure if you have like 10 lands out and no cards in hand. I would give them treasure actually instead of a card draw engine.
Yeah. And like you've talked about before, just treasures are so powerful. Even just one treasure is just good.
Treasure!
It kind of pays for itself a little bit over time.
That's right. Well, yeah, when you cast it, it costs six mana, but you're going to guaranteed, if you vote for treasure both times, get two treasures. So that's like four mana total for him. Treasures are very good. So Tivit, also very powerful.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the last one up.
Last but not least, we have Oscar, the Rubbish Reclaimer.
Wait,
oh my
hold
gosh.
On. Is that Oscar the Grouch? Hold on. This Oscar has a K in it, notably.
Yes.
But this is Oscar Rubbish Reclaimer.
Oh my gosh, I just got that. I've been looking at this deck.
There's no way that they did this on purpose, right? Let us know in the comments. Okay.
Okay. It is 3 blue and black. It's a human wizard. It's a 3/3. And it says this spell costs one less to cast for each different mana value among cards in your graveyard. Whenever you discard a non-land card, you may cast it from your graveyard.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So it could cost just blue and the black if you have a 1-drop, 2-drop, and 3-drop in your graveyard.
Yes.
But anytime you discard, this is the cool thing, anytime you discard, you can cast it from your graveyard. And it doesn't say till end of turn. It just says you can do it.
Well, I assumed that meant like as soon as this happens, is it just
that may
a
be the
present?
Case. Yeah. It's interesting because I don't know if it adds the text to the card. This is something that we'll have to check later, but either way, it's still pretty powerful because if you're discarding instants and sorceries, which I'm assuming you're doing here, but even if you discard like an enchantment, this is a human wizard. There's a lot of cool spells and things that wizards can do. So even creatures you could discard and cast it.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. Yeah, I believe you have to cast it at that moment, but even so.
It's still nice.
Yeah, it's giving you that option.
Instead of pitching a card, you get to use it.
Yeah,
if you
get
you have
to use
mana.
It. Yeah, yeah.
And your commander.
I like it.
Yeah. Com is Connives, and you're going to be looting with Connives, so.
Very interesting.
Nice.
That's right. You got card draw on Cam is here. Okay. So if you're in a Graveyards Matters deck, you maybe want to run good old Oscar.
Yeah. Also, it's just a flavor score because.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Rubbish Reclaimer, and it's also literally going through the graveyard, so I appreciated that.
I don't know if Oscar the Grouch would be blue-black, though.
No.
He kind of strikes me as a gruel, red-green kind of guy.
I was going to say the same.
Yeah.
He's definitely gruel.
Okay, so now that we've talked about the three commander potentials, again, only the first two are in the full colors of Obscura. Oscar is just a two-color commander. Let's talk about the stats. Wizards have been doing great with these stats, and this deck, believe it or not, it ain't no different.
It's juicy for sure.
Yep. So this is a white, blue, black deck, so you're not going to see as much ramp in the land side, but that doesn't mean you can't have ramp at all, for this deck has 12 ramp spells.
Yeah, it's 12. Every artifact, aside from talismans, that it could put in this deck, it has pretty much. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's actually great because the card draw here is also extremely high. It's 14 sources of card draw. Your commander is like half a card because it's card advantage, but you're getting a lot of selection with the connive. So there's a lot of good stuff going on there. And Tivit is just nuts. That's if you get, you know, clues, that technically is card advantage as well. So there's a lot of card draw in here.
And there's also a good amount of removal, especially single target removal. We've got over 11 different pieces of single target removal.
Wow. It's got one of my favorite spells, Utter End. Because you're in white and black, you have access to pretty much all of the most amazing removal spells of all time for Commander specifically.
Yeah.
So even if you're running around and you have some extra white, black removal spells lying around that you can put into the deck, that might not be the worst idea either.
Yeah.
You got Swords to Plowshares and stuff in here too.
Yeah,
so.
There's swords in there. There's
very good
there's
stuff.
Some new ones. Yeah. It's really good. And then board wipes, there's three.
Okay.
Which is fine for this deck.
Yeah.
You want to be attacking.
You want to be attacking. You probably don't want to be wiping the board as much. It's probably hard to rebuild, especially, you know, when your commander costs 4, then 6, then 8. But attacking is what it's mostly about. So that makes sense.
Speaking of attacking.
Yeah. There are 22 cards that care about attacking or give you on combat damage triggers.
Yes.
So you want to turn them sideways? You got it. Of course, dealing combat damage is also important because you need to be able to not get blocked. So there's a lot of evasion in the deck. There's 21 ways to evade your opponents or have things that care about evading them.
And 22 triggers that care about it. That seems pretty nice, actually. That's
yeah.
Almost one for one.
Smack them. Smack them in the face. 14 cards that care about the graveyard. If you're in blue and black, you're probably going to have a few of these just naturally, so that's good to see. And then five cards that have Connive on it. Connive isn't the theme of the deck, by the way. It's a thing the deck does, but really it's about attacking, giving that double strike, and getting some card advantage.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are some great stats, which is awesome because it means that when we get to the part where we have to add cards and take them out, we don't need to be cutting things just to add ramp
right.
and all that stuff. We can actually focus on making the deck do some more cool stuff. Okay, now let's talk about the total reprint value. This is something that people really love to talk about, and we always cover it on the show. What we do, we take the prices prior to the deck being revealed, and then we add up all of the reprints of the cards here that don't count the new cards, because, again, prior to the reveal, no one even knows what the new cards are right. worth. So there could be some hidden extra value there. There quite often is. Dockside Extortionist was the most famous case of this most recent years. Okay, the total reprint value, Ashlyn. Pretty good, yeah.
The total reprint value is $120.97.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
The crowd goes wild. Just so you know, the average pre-con reprint value for the past 3 years has been around $80. So this is $40 over the average. This is by far one of the most valuable reprints in terms of what they're giving here, which is great. This is definitely the highest value pre-con, I believe, from Cerise of the New Capenna.
Yes, it absolutely is, and several others. It's juicy.
It is juicy. So let's talk about those notable reprints, because maybe you're just a collector and you're going to take this deck apart after you buy it on channelfireball.com/command. The notable reprints, all cards worth more than $2. There were 8 of them worth more than $5 and 17 of them worth more than $2. Yeah. So that's where a lot of that value comes. 17 different cards that are worth $2 or more definitely adds up. But 8 cards, $5 or more, typically we see like 3 or
yeah.
2. Sometimes even 1.
They definitely like just so many Esper or Dimir.
Yeah.
That you haven't seen in a while, too, so I'm pretty excited.
Yep, so the first one, we'll run through these pretty quickly because there's so many. Silent Blade Oni, this is a demon ninja. Ninjas have seen a big resurgence. This one in particular allows you to cast a spell from someone's hand if you ninjutsu it out, or if you just deal combat damage. But if you do it twice in this deck, then you're casting 2 cards out of someone's hands. Pretty nuts.
Oh, yeah.
We have Rexxiel, the Risen Deep. What's this guy all about?
I love Rexxiel. Rexxiel has Island and Swap Walk, and basically whenever it deals combat damage, you can cast a target instant or sorcery card from a player's graveyard. I think it's the one you deal damage to without paying its mana cost. So you kind of get to go through and nice. Use other player spells.
It is 6 mana. And I kind of want to play Tivit more than Rexxiel.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, Rexxiel
take pressures over.
Boy, Rexxiel gets destroyed so quickly whenever you play him or them or it. It's a Kraken.
People don't want their graveyards messed with.
Yeah, Rexxiel's a big baddie. And we've seen this, actually, a lot of the decks have these filter lands. So Fetid Heath, it's a filter land you can tap to add colorless, or you can tap a white or a black to add white, or black, black. So it's a filter land. It's great when you have decks that have more complex mana costs, especially when it's white, or black, black. And we see a lot of that typically in white and black decks.
And then we have Fallen Shinobi, another ninjutsu classic, I would say. I love it. Basically, it has whenever it deals combat damage, that player exiles the top 2 cards of the library, and you can cast one of them without paying its mana cost.
Nice. And you can get it out there, ninjutsu, for just 4 mana. Pretty good. You're probably going to have some unblocked creatures in this when they get double strike or whatever it is. It's interesting because both Fallen Shinobi and Silent Blade Oni are in the ninjas are now popular, more popular than ever. Silent Blade Oni was like almost $20.
Really?
Yeah, and Fallen Shinobi is like $6, so pretty good stuff. Next up, we have Shryonic Resonator. I don't know if I've seen this art before. It's 2 mana for an artifact. You tap it. Copy target triggered ability you control. You can choose new targets for the copy. So this is like a classic combo engine in so many EDH decks. But in this deck's case, you get to have either 2 triggers of Tivit, 2 triggers of Kamiz, lots of interesting stuff to double up on. Even the Fallen Shinobi and Silent Blade Shinobi, yeah. Those are all things that Shryonic Resonator can hit.
It's a 590.
Wow. Great card.
Next, we have Alayla at 560. You know, was she even a Brawl deck?
She was the Brawl, yeah.
Yeah.
When they did the very unfortunate Arcane Signet Brawl decks back in the day. Alayla was one of the commanders, and yes. A great commander, though.
Yeah, she's great. She's a fairy warlock. She has flying, death touch, lifelink. She buffs other creatures with flying, and whenever you cast an artifact or enchantment, you get to create more fairies.
Yeah, and you need those small little creatures to be targets for Kamiz when you want to be swinging in. Also, Flying Death Touch Lifelink, no one's going to be blocking this thing anytime soon. Chasm Skulker is up next, one of my personal favorite cards. I put it in March 8th.
So good.
Two in the blue, you basically put a bunch of plus one counters on it, and when it dies, you make a ton of 1/1 blue squid creature tokens with Island Walk, where X is the number of plus one counters on Chasm Skulker. Yay!
That's
525. 525. And the last one over $5 is Quietus Spike. This is just an equipment that when you deal combat damage to a player, they lose half their life rounded up. Imagine if you double strike them.
It's so good. When we were playtesting it, I got that out like so early. It was ridiculous.
Man.
And just put someone at like 12. It was great.
All right. We'll do these last few in a bunch. So take the first two.
Next, we have Drana, Liberator of Malakir.
So these are all under the $5 category, but above $2. Drana, yes. Great Vampire Lord.
Drana at $4.35. Then we have Custody.
Custody Lich,
and that one's going to be $4.35. And yeah, this one, when you have Monarch, whenever you become the Monarch, the target player gets to sacrifice a creature.
And it introduces Monarch to the game, yes. Which is more important to
ETB.
Me, because then the game gets real interesting. Everyone's swinging around, and that seems like all fun. Then we have Dimir Signet, just a classic Signet. All the Signets you'll probably play from now until forever. They're great two mana ramp, as well as Creeping Tar Pit. This is an unblockable land that turns into a man land, and then it can just smack people for 3 each turn. It's a win condition oftentimes. You need to get that extra damage in. And then we got a few more here. These are again all over $2, so that's why this deck's loaded with value. I have used most of these cards some deck or another so far.
This deck is out of the box. It's really good.
Yeah, super solid.
Dragonlord Ojutai. Love him. He's flying, hexproof as long as it's untapped. And then when it deals combat damage to a player, look at the top 3 cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and the rest on the bottom of the library in any order.
Nice. So you're impulsing each time, I think. Yeah. Or anticipate. I think you're anticipating.
Yeah, anticipating. And then, of course, Austere Command.
The classic 4 white, big old board wipe. Yeah, this and Farewell are sort of like the two most powerful board wipes that white has at 6 mana. So very good stuff. And then the last is Felwarstone, great mana rocket, 2 mana. Wayfarer's Bauble, love this card. Really good in decks that especially don't play green. And then Swords of Plowshares, just one of the best removal spells of
all
time.
Solid.
Of all time. Wow, so pretty good if you're watching me on camera.
It's got a grip.
I got a grip. I would be, I would not be. Well, would I keep this hand? I would turn 1, Creeping Tar Pit.
Yeah, okay.
Turn 2, Fetid Heath, and play Dimir Signet.
Yeah, I was going to say, get those
hopefully
rocks out there.
Hopefully draw something by then. Or
Wayfarer's Bauble.
Or I could have turned it around, right? Could have played Fetid Heath, chirp, tap to play Wayfarer's Bauble, untap, hope I draw a land. There's only 1 land and 2 lands in here. Okay.
We'll
play
there.
This experiment. Yeah. Either way, great cards. Definitely very cool. Love this deck so far. So, Ashlyn, big question now is, who should you run as the commander if you're to buy this deck right now and want to go play with it?
Kamis, 100%. The deck is built and tuned already and to support Kamis, and Kamis supports it.
Mm-hmm.
Tevet's nice. I think it's better than the 99 for this deck.
Yeah.
As is, out of the box. Tevet would be great to just go and build with.
Yeah,
otherwise,
take the whole deck apart and build specifically around Tevet. I can definitely see that happening, yeah.
Yeah, but just Kamis is just so strong with all of the attack and damage triggers. It just benefits from having him as the commander.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. I so far, even just sort of looking through the deck and from the small amount of research I was able to do, I think this is by far the most powerful deck. And and it's not even so that the commander is necessarily the most powerful. I think Kamis' ability is fun, but it's more that it just has a very solid game plan and you're not going to stumble. So let's talk about some of the best cards in the deck. Yeah, let me toss this paper out. Yeah! I got another one here.
Ugh! Oh my.
Okay. Best cards in the deck.
All right. Best cards
first one.
In the deck.
It's a new one.
Well, change of plans. It's X, colorless and a blue for an instant. Each of X target creatures you control connive. You may have any number of them phase out.
Ooh.
So I really like this card. It's instant protection against board wipes.
Any number of them?
Any number of them.
Wow.
Which, okay. I mean, you're going to choose all, right?
Well, you have to pay for all of it, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you have 3 creatures, this is 5 mana. All of them connive. And then if they are facing a board wipe, you just have them phase out. They disappear until your controller's next turn.
How'd that go?
They whooped. There it is. Change of plans. Yeah, so this is kind of like Teferi's Protection. This is kind of like Heroic Intervention.
Yeah.
And it seems pretty good.
And this deck needs it because you don't want to get a board wipe. You want to attack every turn
if
you can. So.
Right. You don't want to be chilling.
And you get card draw.
Yeah.
So.
Next up, best card in the deck is Tivit, Seller of Secrets. Again, this is just awesome. If you connect once with Tivit, it is going to be pretty powerful. I like it.
Yeah.
The next up is Sun Titan!
Titan!
So why did you like this card so much in this deck specifically?
Okay, so I could be biased because I just love the Titans and I think Sun Titan's a great card. I think in this deck,
pretty swell guy.
He's pretty swell. Did I have a note of it? Yes, there are 28 non-land targets in the deck.
Okay, so that Wayfarer's Bauble they were talking about earlier. Yeah.
A lot of the creatures are 3 and under, so Sun Titan is great for anything you're pitching to the graveyard that's not a non-land.
Oh, you're conniving, that's right.
You get it back with Sun Titan. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so synergistic. I just love it.
I like that too. That's good stuff. We also got Smuggler's Share. Forgot to talk about this card. We talked about this on our live episode with Posty, but this is 2 and white for an enchantment. May go in a lot of decks. At the beginning of each end step, draw a card for each opponent who drew 2 or more cards this turn. Then create a treasure token for each opponent who had 2 or more lands enter the battlefield under their control this turn. So this is one of those enchantments in decks that don't have green that might just need a little bit of extra help.
Yeah.
And then you also put this really interesting card down. I think this actually has a lot of playability because it is kind of cheap and it's very much like a little bit like Swan Song. It's an offer you can't refuse.
Actually, it's an offer you can't refuse.
An offer you can't refuse. Okay, it's 1 blue for an instant. Counter target non-creature spell. Its controller creates 2 treasure tokens.
Yeah.
So instead of giving them a 2/2 bird, whatever it is, with Swan Song, you're giving them 2 treasure tokens, but it is just 1 blue, and it counters any non-creature spell, whereas Swan Song is a bit more limited. So that's interesting. You could do planeswalkers, enchantment sorceries, all that good stuff.
It's also just really fun to say. So, like, at any game, you are, like, I challenge you not to read it that way.
Hey, I'd like to give you an offer. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think the 2 treasures is a bit of a drawback, but this could be late game, right? And the 2 treasures are not that much of a difference maker when the opponent has 8 lands. Or it could be super early, and they get a little boost out of it, but you stop something that was disastrous for you, and all you had to do was hold up 1 blue.
Yeah.
Even better, if you have a blue-white combo land, you could pretend like you're holding up Swords to Plowshares, too.
Oh-ho.
So, yeah, I do like an off-field combo. It gets worse every time. I'm off-field combo. It sounds like a Murloc. Well, not Murlocs, but we do have a mineral break coming up right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the cards to add, honorable mentions, and, of course, the cards to take out of this deck. We'll be right back.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Alrighty. Hello. We're back. And we're talking about the Obscura Precon Obscura Operation. A lot of alliteration in this set.
What, I keep thinking of a song when I hear that. It's like, how does it go? It's like something, something operator.
Oh, they got that. Wait.
Yeah, that's it. Is that like in Tony Hawk or something? I don't know.
It might have been. Or like, it's by the Offspring, I believe. You got to call them. Now, I don't think it's operator, is it?
Oh my gosh, have I been singing it wrong this whole time?
Maybe. Either way, it's Offspring, and it's... No, that's the song we wrote for this episode.
Yes.
You got an obscure operator. Okay. So, Ashlyn, when you were looking at cards to add into this deck and cards to take out, what was your general direction? What were you trying to do?
I was trying to make my opponents as miserable as possible. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
I wanted to go a mill route because I don't usually play blue, and if I do, I'm playing mill. That was my first deck, Una, Queen of the Fae.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're going to be milling in this deck, a little at least.
Okay, cool. So, again, the budget is about $30 for this exercise. So let's go through the cards now that we know that we're focused a little bit more on milling, not only by ourselves, of course, but our opponents,
yes,
too.
I would say milling, and so we went mill and damage triggers,
some more
basically.
Combat triggers?
Yeah, just
okay,
to take advantage of it. But yes, $30. I spent a bunch of it on this first card.
You did. Almost half the budget goes to this first card.
It's worth it.
It's a good card. It's Douthi Voidwalker. You're going to hear us talk about this card probably a lot.
I know. Well,
it's also a rogue, which is kind of thematic because all the other creatures here,
yeah,
are rogues. It's black for a 3/2 with shadow, so can be blocked or be blocked only with creatures with shadow. This is never going to come up, just unless you're playing, I think Ukima has shadow. Okay.
Yeah, I looked up. I tried to see if there was a lot of cards that I could use shadow with, but no, there's not many at all.
Not at all. It just has shadow because, he's in the shadows. All right, and it says, if a card will be put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, instead exile it with a void counter on it. So that's just great by itself.
Yes.
Anytime a card will be put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, discard from the deck, whatever, it gets exiled. It never hits the graveyard. And you can also tap and sack the Douthi Voidwalker to choose an exiled card an opponent controls with a void counter on it. You can play it this turn without paying its mana cost.
Ooh, that's the nice thing there.
So this card comes out early. It sticks around. It makes opponents miserable because they can't do their graveyard synergies. And then at the opportune moment, you crack it, play that card without paying its mana cost.
And if we're doing a mill deck, even if you get it late game, it's great because you've put so many of your opponent's cards in their graveyard.
Oh, into exile. Yeah. So if you're just milling a bunch, then Douthi Voidwalker is just taking out chunks of their deck over and over and over again. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, and it feels bad to use removal on it, too. You're just hoping that the Douthi Voidwalker doesn't get something really good from you.
Yeah. All right, next up we have, at $4, Nashi Moonsage's Scion. This is from Kamigawa. It's a new card. It says it's 1BB. It's a rat ninja with ninjutsu 4, and Whenever Moonsage's Scion deals combat damage to a player, exile the top card of each player's
library.
There we go. Until end of turn, you may play one of those cards. If you cast a spell this way, pay life equal to its mana value rather than paying its mana cost.
Wow, that's cool. So it's very similar to like Bolas Isida, where you're paying life for the card off of someone's library in this case. So you're going to deal combat damage, obviously. You're going to ninjutsu this in for 3 and a black, or you're just going to play it for 3 and then hopefully you can get in for damage.
Yeah, because your commander makes it unblockable.
Yeah, exactly. And so even if you don't get the double trigger, you're going to get that single trigger and you get to cast one of those spells and you can cast it for your life total. So if someone drops like a Kozilek off the top of their library and it's turn 5, you'll probably cast that thing. Cast, by the way. So you're going to get all the cast triggers.
Oh, that's
triggers
right.
And
I didn't even think
triggers.
About that.
Yeah, pretty powerful. Now, obviously, you cannot play any lands. No, you can. You can play one of those cards. Oh, my gosh. So.
That's great.
Nashi's very good in this deck. Just by himself as a 1BB rat ninja. Pretty awesome, too. All right, next up, we got Virtus the Veiled.
At $1.
Nice. 2 and a black for a 1/1. Azra Assassin. It has partnered with a card called Gorm the Great, but Gorm's not making an appearance here.
Nope.
Virtus has Death Touch, and then whenever Virtus the Veil deals combat damage to a player, that player loses half their life rounded up. Kamis gives this unblockable.
Yes.
You've got redundancy in this deck because you got Quietus Spike. Imagine if you just managed to swing this at someone and get double strike on it.
It's a four-turn clock, essentially.
Yeah, you'll go from 40 to 20, 20 to 10, 10 to 5, 5 to 3. 3 to 1, you die. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Love it. This next card, incredibly powerful.
Yes. The next card is $1. It is Consuming Aberration for 3BB. It's a creature horror. Its power and toughness is star, which means it's
equal to
the number of cards in each of your opponent's graveyards.
Okay.
Or not each, sorry. Just your opponent's graveyard. Same thing, kind of. Whenever you cast a spell, each opponent reveals cards from the top of their library until they reveal a land card. Then puts those cards into their graveyard.
Wow. So look, Consuming Aberration and Doubt the Voidwalker, a little bit of a nombo. But let's say there's at least one card in the graveyard. This is a 1-1. And then Doubt the Voidwalker just starts chewing up everything you exile. Or you just turbo mill people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very cool. So this gets a lot of cards into the graveyard. It also gets a lot of cards, you know, just for you to look at, because maybe there's ways to interact with them, or you just want to get them out of people's decks. Just because graveyards are powerful doesn't mean that every card needs to be in the graveyard. So a lot of times you'll find yourself milling someone out and they go, oh crud, there goes one, not only the card I needed, but two, the card I need to use to get it back from my graveyard. So Consuming Aberration has sort of that ability, because you're revealing until you hit a land. Sometimes you'll get like pockets of 5, 6, 10 yeah. cards.
And then I would say, like, if you connive Consuming Aberration, then even if stuff stops going to the graveyards, it still stays.
Right. Mirko Vosk, Mind Drinker. Haven't seen this card in a while.
It's also only $1.
Yeah, because it's all millerific. 3 blue and a black for a 2/4 with flying. Whenever Mirko deals combat damage to a player, that player reveals cards from the top of their library until they reveal 4 land cards, then puts those cards into their graveyard. So that's Consuming Aberration times 4.
Yeah, it's on steroids.
Yeah, that's definitely going to get a lot of people milled out. And you're going to make a big impact 100% if that thing connects.
And what's the part? It's a 2/4.
It's a 2/4 with flying.
It could get double strike very easily.
That's right. That's a good point.
Next up, we have Raven Guildmaster at $2.50. Whenever Guildmaster deals combat damage to a player, that player removes the top 10 cards of their library from the game.
Wow. And you can also morph it and unmorph it for 4 mana. That's nice. That is a lot of cards getting removed.
Yeah, and I figured you don't even have to worry about the morph. There
Murph.
We go. I keep wanting to say morph. Morph cost, because you're, again, your commander gives unblockable, and it's just, true. It's nice.
I should make a morph token that's just Murph's face on it. Maybe
oh
that could
gosh,
be.
Why haven't we done that?
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
All right. Next up, Silas Wren, Seeker Adept. One of my favorites. I played this on game that's a long time ago. 1 yeah. blue black for a 2/2 legendary artifact creature. With Death Touch, whenever Silas Wren deals combat damage to a player, choose target artifact card in your graveyard. You may cast that card this turn. Seems really good with Wayfarer's Bauble.
Yeah, it's a nice little loop.
Yeah, and this card's pretty not too bad either. But this is around like $6.
And if people want to get rid of what is it? Your Quietus Spike? Quidius Spike?
Quietus Spike for sure.
Quietus Spike, your Strionic Resonator. I can't yeah. pronounce anything today. I'm sorry.
Those are definitely big targets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Up next at 20 cents, Master of Predicaments.
What a predicament this word.
Okay, so this card is definitely more of a pet card going in this deck, but I think it's so fun if it connects. It is 3 blue-blue. It's a Sphinx, 4/4. It has flying. Whenever Master of Predicaments deals combat damage to a player, choose a card in your hand. That player guesses whether the card's converted mana cost is greater than 4. If that player guessed wrong, you may cast the card without paying its mana cost.
Wow. So I deal combat damage to you. I point a card at banks, go, is this mana cost greater or less than 4?
Yeah.
And what do you say?
I say less than.
Okay. Well, it turns out it's an 8 drop. You were
wrong.
I cast it for free.
And if you get just, double.
Do you always say that's going to be greater than 4 because you're just afraid? So that means Master Predicaments, no matter what, pretty much is going to be casting your 4 drops and below for free?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you late game, like, who knows what you have in hand?
Yeah. I'm always saying greater than 4 because I don't want them to put out the Eldrazi.
That makes sense. Yeah. And then most of the creatures are less than 4, but still. It's
cool. Yeah. 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 That's cool. Very nice. And doubling that up with Kamis also sounds good. 4/4 is a little harder, but look, you're conniving. You're making your creatures bigger. Very cool. All right, next up we got Teferi's Tutelage. 2 blue for an enchantment. When Teferi's Tutelage enters the battlefield, draw a card, then discard a card. Whenever you draw a card, target opponent mills 2 cards. Excuse you, Ashlyn. So this means that every time you connive, right? Every time you get a lot of conniving going there, you're just making people mill like crazy.
Yeah, and I figured like it'd be nice to have just a little extra card draw when we get to cards to take out, but it's just nice. It works with the deck.
Yeah, you're going for that mill strategy.
I am.
I don't know if I'm loving it.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Next up, we have Elixir of Immortality at 60 cents. It is a colorless, and then it has tap, pay 2, and tap. You gain 5 life, shuffle it into your library with your graveyard, and nice. Yeah, that's it.
You get your graveyard back. This is definitely in those decks that mill a ton. Even in decks that don't mill a ton, Josh could just incidentally probably play this in a couple of decks and it wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
If you're in danger or you need to even rebuy some stuff because you connive so much, you're like, ugh, you know, by the end of it, I was actually dishing cards I wanted in my deck. Well, Elixir of Immortality is a way for you to get that back. It's also a way for you to just save yourself from being milled out.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little spicy ads there. We're going the Millie route.
Yeah.
Tons of fun. Obviously, there are so many cards in Magic's history that are all about mill.
Yeah.
So if you do want to go further down this road, just, you know, EDH Rec, Tapped Out, there's tons of resources online to find sort of the best mill strategies and how you can make it flavorful to your awful needs.
And the total for the upgrades came out to $29.05. So
wow, right
we're
under.
There.
Nice. Good job. All right, next up, we have some honorable mentions. I always love these.
Yes.
This one's crazy. So Ashling the Extinguisher is an honorable mention. Ashlyn the Extinguisher. 2BB for a 4/4 legendary creature. Whenever Ashlyn deals combat damage to a player, choose target creature that player controls. He or she sacrifices that creature. So you get to choose. It's single target removal because you can actually choose which creature. Yeah. So this can get either unblockable or double strike by Kamis. Yeah. Pretty good.
It's $6. And I totally chose it for that, and also possibly maybe, but not really, but there is a chance because it's Ashlyn.
Yeah, Ashlyn the Extinguisher. We also have Sword of the Animist, which is an on attack trigger, actually. You're going to be attacking a lot. Actually, this is great because you still want to get attack triggers. Yeah, and this will bring a basic land on the battlefield tapped. Strixhaven Stadium, why is this in here?
So, I really like it, too. I feel like you could actually get there in this deck because of how much evasion it has.
Yeah, so this is a 3-mana that taps for a mana, but every time you tap it, you get to put a point counter on it, like you're playing a game. And then also, when creature deals combat damage to you, you remove a point counter, but you get to add point counters. And how do you do that?
You add it by whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to an opponent, you put a counter on it. And then if it has 10 or more point counters, remove all of them, and that player loses the game.
Dang. You just choose one player at a time to lose the game?
Yes. That's great.
Incredible. Last up, we got Bone Dancer as an honorable mention. 1BB. Summon zombie, old school. It's a 2/2. You can pay 0 to put the top creature card of defending player's graveyard into play under your control. Bone Dancer deals no combat damage this turn and uses ability only if Bone Dancer is attacking and unblocked, and only once each turn.
And it costs 0.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, really powerful. Your opponents will now have to, by the way, they can't start shuffling through their graveyards because this says the top card.
Yeah.
There's another card that reanimates that cares about the top card, Shallow Grave, I think. So when this card is out, please make sure that you tell your opponents to not shuffle their graveyards.
Yeah, don't
around.
Look through it or anything.
Well, they can look through it, just don't change the order.
Yeah.
Very cool. I like Bone Dancer a lot. Looks really good in this deck. It's a 2/2. Doesn't go well in that, like the decks that want to care about once attacking and getting unblockable, but still pretty good because with Kamis, that thing is not getting touched.
Nope.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the cards to take out. First up, we like these cards, but we don't like them enough compared to the cards we just added in.
Yes, they are good cards. Just we have to make choices.
And also, by the way, if you disagree with the choice, you do you. It's your life. Skyway Robber wants to take from your life, though. 3 in a blue. It's a 3/3 bird rogue with flying. It has escape for 3 in a blue, so you can exile 5 other cards from your graveyard and then cast this for that mana, for 4 mana. Skyway Robber escapes with whenever Skyway Robber deals combat damage to a player, you may cast an artifact, instant, or a sorcery spell from among cards exiled with Skyway Robber without paying its mana cost. So when you pay, when you're exiling 5 cards from your graveyard, it says that now when you escape Skyway Robber, so you have to get into the graveyard, cast it, and exile 5 cards, and then swing with it, and then deal combat damage, and then you may cast an artifact, instant, or sorcery if you happen to exile one of them from casting it for escape. I think I know why you cut this.
Why?
It's just way too many hurdles to jump through to get an effect.
Yeah.
And it's if you exile something really powerful, this becomes a huge target for removal. People will just be scared because you could be playing something crazy in your graveyard to exile with this. But there's so many times when you'll have this before you even have one card in your graveyard, mm-hmm. and you're like, why do I have just a 4-mana 3/3 flyer?
Yeah, it does nothing.
Yeah, I don't like that. Good call.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Next up, we have Life Insurance. It is a 3 colorless, a white and a black enchantment. It has Extort, which is whenever you cast a spell, you may pay a white or black. If you do, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life.
Okay.
And then the actual part of the enchantment is whenever a non-token creature dies, you lose 1 life and create 1 treasure token.
Oh.
For 5 mana.
Yeah, so you might think I'm going to make tons of treasure tokens with this. Revel in Riches does a similar thing. You don't really see it played that much. Extort is nice. Every spell you get now, you get to pay an extra mana into it to extort. But that's not how you're trying to win the game here. You're not trying to drain people out. And yeah, 5-mana enchantment that kind of says non-token, do nothing when you first play it, is a bit tough.
It's a cool card, and I see, like, there's a way where in the right deck, it can kind of fund itself with the extort and its ability, but right. It's just not for this deck. I think they, it's cool.
Next up, removal, we have Commit to Memory. On the top side, it's 3 in the blue for an instant that puts a target spell or non-land permanent into its owner's library, second from the top. And then Memory for 4 blue-blue, you can cast it from your graveyard, then you exile it. You basically, everyone shuffles their hand in graveyard into your library, then draws 7 cards. So kind of like Wheel, but you're trying to mill people out, and you're trying to get cards into their graveyard, not get them back. So that's going that's gonna be a cut there. And you have better removal in the deck, too, so it's not too crazy.
Exactamundo. Next up, we have Nadir Kraken.
Sure.
Nadir Kraken. It's a 1 blue-blue Kraken for 2/3. Whenever you draw a card, you may pay 1. If you do, put a +1/+1 counter on the Kraken and create a 1/1 blue tentacle creature token.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's just we have cards that do better.
Yeah.
And, like, how often are you going to want to pay the 1?
Yeah, I mean, you're making a 1/1, but you're probably, you know, that's a lot of mana for a lot of, you know, if you're going to connive a few times or whatever, you are paying a lot. You get a lot of 1/1s. I can see the advantages here, but I can also see, hey, I want to be a little more direct with what I'm doing here. It doesn't, this creature itself doesn't have evasion.
Yeah.
It's 1 blue-blue. It's a little hard to cast, so I can see that. Graveblade Marauder, 2 in the black for a 1/4 with Death Touch. Whenever Graveblade Marauder deals combat damage to a player, that player loses life equal to the number of creature cards in your graveyard. I could see this working if it said every player's graveyard.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay, but like if you draw that and you have nothing in your graveyard,
yeah,
it's kind of just, 1/4, what is it?
Yeah, it's just a 1/4 with Death Touch. Not so hot.
Next up, we have Whirler Rogue, 2 blue-blue, human rogue artificer. It's 2/2. Whenever Whirler Rogue enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 colors Thopter artifact creature tokens with flying. And it also says, tap 2 untapped artifacts you control. Target creature can't be blocked this turn.
Yep. So this is typically a very good card. Much better in artifact decks. You can also tap the Thopters you make to make a creature unblockable, but your commander's already doing that, and this is also a 4-drop, so it seems like it's kind of competing for some space here.
Yeah, and it doesn't have anything else it does, right? Like, it doesn't go with the attack damage or
the combat damage. Right, right.
Yeah,
giving you an unblockable creature, if your commander's already doing it, you might not need that redundant as an effect. Next up, Ghostly Pilferer, 1 in the blue, Spirit Rogue creature it's a 2/1. Whenever it becomes untapped, you may pay 2 if you do draw a card. Whenever an opponent casts a spell from anywhere other than their hand, draw a card. And then you can discard a card. Ghostly Pilferer can't be blocked this turn. So I never want to discard a card to make this unblockable. Do give it 2 and then wait to have to untap it the next turn and then pay 2 mana to draw a card. Not so great. Whenever an opponent casts a spell from anywhere other than their hand, draw a card. This could be useful.
Yeah.
But also, not that great. I'd rather just sort of do something I know I'm going to draw a card with.
Yeah.
So I understand the cut there. Makes a lot of sense.
And then also, like, again, this deck out of the box was just really, really strong. There were so many cards. It was very difficult to choose what to cut.
Mm-hmm.
But we did cut them, and up next is Nightmare Unmaking. It's 3 black-black for a sorcery. Choose 1, exile each creature with power greater than the number of cards in your hand, or exile each creature with power less than the number of cards in your hand.
Okay.
Which is okay, but we don't want a lot of board wipes. And this one's, the variance on it is way too high. We already have Dusk Dawn and Austere Command.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, that makes sense.
It just made sense.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Dusk Dawn, I think you wanted to cut it. Goodbye.
No, that wasn't a cut. That's a no. We're good.
Okay, good. All right. And then we actually skipped over this one, but you actually have Rexxiel, the Risen Deep, as a cut here.
Yeah, that's right.
It was skipped over because it got buried into the deck. So Rexxiel, it's 6 mana. It's a lot of mana. I can understand why you'd want to cut this. Obviously, you'd think, well, it could be really good, and maybe it is good in your meta. In that case, maybe you want to cut, like, Dragonlord Ojutai or something else, or something that's not as, you know, powerful or more powerful, depending on what you're playing as. But I could see why you cut it.
Yeah, he's just a little expensive.
Goodbye, Rexxiel.
And then, I'm reading this one. I don't know why I'm handing it to you. Lastly, we have Jailbreak. It is 1 colorless and a white. It says, it's a sorcery. Uh-huh. It says, return target permanent card in an opponent's graveyard to the battlefield under their control. When that permanent enters the battlefield, return up to 1 target permanent card with equal or lesser mana value from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Ooh, you're giving them something so you can get something?
And what you get is based on what you pick for them?
Yeah. Ooh, what if there is no good targets? What if their targets are so bad for you that you don't want to pick it? Is the thing in your graveyard really worth it? Jailbreak is 1 in the white, right? So it's cheap. You can do a permanent. So you can do a land from their graveyard to get a land for you. I mean, it is a way, but here's the thing. You were just ramping them in that case. White, of course, needs some catch-up mechanics. So Jailbreak is interesting. I think it needs some more testing, I think, before we know whether or not it's good or not, or I just got it.
Yeah.
By the way, you're in black. You got tons of cards you can play to reanimate stuff. Try checking those out. Animate Dead.
Reanimate.
A little more expensive, but...
Sure.
Okay. So that's the 10 cards out with the 10 cards in. I like that we went sort of to try and focus a little bit more on mill. There are some play groups, again, where if you just play incidental mill or just have more of some mill cards in your deck, you will just end up housing some decks. So I don't mind going this direction, even if it's not the most ideal or performative, right? You can also just take the couple mill cards out if you don't agree. And the other additions Ashlyn put in here are really solid. So do what you want at the end of the day. These are just our suggestions. But it's really fun to see how everyone tackles the problem. Because to me, I'm just here to try to play some fun magic games, and if we're trying to just win all the time, it gets a little less fun.
Yeah.
Why not make your opponents miserable by milling out their favorite cards?
Yes.
Perfect. So how does this deck play? You mentioned you play tested a couple times.
Yes. So basically, you want to play cheap value creatures, which there are a lot of in the deck.
Yep.
That benefit from the commander, and then overwhelm your opponents with tons of attacks.
Yep.
Play bombs and win.
Oh. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Attack your opponent, out. Play some really powerful cards, and win the game. Over and out. Yeah. Or you can mill them out. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Or mill them out.
Yeah. I don't know about that. No thanks. But that is, of course, always an option.
Yeah.
Okay. To the listeners, let us know what you think about the Obscura Operation Precon. Were there any cards you missed? What direction would you take it? What direction would you not take it? Which cards would you remove? Would you actually choose one of the different commanders as the main commander of the deck? Let's say you wanted to build a separate Tivit deck. Let us know what you would do for that as well. Or maybe an Oscar Relish Claimer deck that you got to be... I don't know, was it altered so that Oscar the Grouch is on it?
Also, for those of you out there that are like, why didn't you put Cyclonic Rift in the deck? We will never put Cyclonic Rift in any of my decks. I'm just putting it out there.
It also is a little bit expensive with taking up a huge part of your budget, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good on you. Douthy Voidwalker is better. Okay, make sure you check out channelfireball.com/command. That's the place to go get your magic cards, your sealed product, your singles, all that great stuff, because you're going to want to take part either in drafting the new sets, or you just want to buy some singles for the deck you're building. You're going to build this deck or something else. You're going to buy this precon. You're going to buy all the precons.
All the precons.
Go to channelfireball.com/command or enter promo code command at checkout. That's how you support our show, but... more importantly, you're getting cards for yourself at the exact same rate, and you're helping out local game stores around the country. And big thanks to Ultra Pro for sponsoring the show. They make the products you see on game nights.
A lot of our products as well.
A lot of our products. They've just been making quality products for the past decade plus. I've been playing with them since I was like in fifth grade, third grade. My first top loaders were all Ultra Pro, and I haven't changed because there's no need to. They're a great company. Go to your local game store, pick up a new playmat, or go to their online store and buy some stuff there. They got tons of awesome product, and they're always doing sales and stuff too on older stuff, so you can always find a really great deal. Okay, end step. We're talking about something cool outside the world of magic. Do you have anything, Ashlyn?
Yes, I do.
Oh my, what is it?
So outside of the world of magic, veganism.
Oh, veganism.
Being vegan.
Veganism, vegetarianism. Vegan, there's lots of different ways to change your eating habits.
Yes. Basically, over the beginning of the year, I changed from just normal eating whatever I used to eat to eating vegan. And I've really, really enjoyed it, and I'm kind of happy I did it.
Nice.
It all started with a documentary called The Game Changers.
Yep, I've seen it.
Everyone has heard of, I'm sure.
It's really good. I really enjoyed the documentary.
It's very convincing. I will say, documentaries in general, they're going to be a little bit biased, but so take things with grains of salt sometimes. Do your own research.
They are documenting very real people, however, in this documentary, and as crazy as it is, their lives are very true.
Yeah, one of them actually is Patrick Babauman. He is a retired strongman and just lifter of like the most heavy things. It's ridiculous. And he's vegan. A lot. It goes over a lot of people who are vegan that are like power lifters.
Marathon hike runners, those just insane athletes. Incredible how much they're accomplishing. It's nuts.
Yeah. And it's just, I'm not trying to like turn anyone vegan here. I'm just saying it's a really cool diet to explore. Like back in the day, I would never do it because what options are there, right? Like you think of like, what are you going to eat? What are you going to make? What are you going to grab when you're running out the door late for work or something?
Right. What if you need to get something really quickly and fast food's your only option?
Right.
What if you don't live near a grocery store that has that many vegan options? You know, so there's a lot of obviously complications that get in the way of changing your eating habits. But I will say the takeaway for me, we watched, my wife and I watched The Game Changers. We watched there was that Ocean documentary about the overfishing.
Oh, yeah.
There was a few sort of around that same time that all were talking about, you know, what is your impact on the world and what are you doing to your body too with the food that you eat? And we were trying to get pregnant at the time, and we switched to a plant-based diet. So this isn't full vegan, isn't full vegetarian, but you're just eating a lot more veggies. And it's something that we have literally not stopped since. Now focus on always getting more vegetables than anything else. Our stomachs love it. I get way more energy. I sleep better. There's so many different parts of my life where I'm not like feeling sluggish. There's so many, when I was growing up, I would always eat fast food like crazy. And you just... it's like you're loading yourself with all this stuff and then you're just sort of simmering in this,
food coma,
I don't want to do anything. And then that kind of carries over. So we found that actually eating more plants and stuff really helped us. I don't know if it directly contributed, but we did get pregnant and things did succeed. So that I think was just a part of a lot of different things. And having our mentality shift about how we looked at our food and how we put things into our body really did make a big difference. So even if you don't want to ever be a vegan and you love your prime rib and your steaks, still check out Game Changers.
It's really cool. And like, even if you do like Veggie Tuesdays or something, like there's different ways you can incorporate things in your life. Again, this is just what works for me. I have more energy now. I just feel better. There's a lot of things in animal protein and byproducts that can be inflammatory to the body, and so taking that out of the picture has been very beneficial, I will say.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you're eating a lot less processed foods and stuff as well. So if you have the chance to even try it for a day, for a half a day, for a meal, try it, see what happens. You know, get more in tune with your body. So that's a great call out. Happy to talk always about ways to live your life better.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks so much, Ashlyn, for joining us here today. And of course, a big thanks to the team here at the Command Zone. Arthur Meadowcroft, Shauna Gillis, Damon Lenz, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Sam Walder, Grav Galati, Truck Tie, Jamie Block, Evan Limburger, and Mitch Trafford. And how's it? Josh Glee Kwai.
Yes, Josh.
Special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer. He does the Living Card animations often a little bit behind us on set. Not this one, but he also does the animations that start our videos on YouTube. You can find him on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG. All right, everyone, go get Obscura with it, and we hope to see you on the streets of New Capenna. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com. Or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.